The world today is a complex place. The IT series, designed by the University of Stellenbosch Business School Executive Development, with insights provided by the Institute for Futures Research, will help you navigate complex, volatile, and uncertain business environments with the innovation and insights required to achieve transformation. Join us as, with each episode of this series, we provide you with practical takeaways that are easy to absorb and relevant.
In this episode of the IT series, we are going to focus on how you can spot it. We are referring to trends and shifts and things moving that leaders in organizations should remain cognizant of. A good place to start is to consider what it is that you are seeing all the time, because all of us are receiving multiple different feeds from different sources on our mobile devices, in our inboxes, etc. And if you could imagine a big, big circle of everything that happens in the world, well, obviously the people that write about everything that's happening in the world can't know everything. So whatever is being written about is a smaller circle inside of that. And then if we start considering, and I got this picture from Ryan Holiday, who wrote a book called Trust Me, I'm Lying, The Confessions of a Media Manipulator. So what he says is there's everything that happens in the world. And that is the smaller circle you have what the media actually knows about. And then an even smaller circle is what they regard as newsworthy. And there are all kinds of incentives for them. They are only going to write about stuff that they think we will be clicking on. And obviously, those are the things that would grieve us, make us cross, make us extremely happy or sad or something like that. So they don't write about boring stuff that just good people doing their work every day. That's not news. So what they regard is what is newsworthy is then an even smaller circle. What actually gets published is an even smaller circle, because some of the things that journalists submit are being rejected by the editors and say, no, that's not going to make it in here. And then we have the even smaller circle, and that is what is actually spreading. And then we have increasing influence by all kinds of cleverness, the AI learning what you prefer to read, what you've clicked on in previous publications, etc. And then it continues sending you that. So if that continues happening, we may all end up in our own little echo chambers. So my challenge to you is to confuse that AI as much as possible. Click on all kinds of weird news items, read diverse as wide and wonderful as what you can. So just that little picture is very important, because many times, because we see such a lot of news, etc., we think that we are well informed, but it could be that we are well boxed in by whatever we have been in the past. So just keep that picture in mind. But let us now consider, when we look at something, do we know that it's a trend? Could it be just a fad? So is there a difference between a trend and a fad? So yes, there is. Fads usually emerge fast, they grow fast, but they also die fast. Whereas a trend usually have a slower time of development, but it has a way wider adoption. And if we look at things that would touch organizations, usually that is where stakeholder problems are solved. So the trend is developing because this, whatever it is helping the stakeholders to achieve their own aims and goals. So their jobs to be done. It takes their pain away. And therefore, usually a trend has sustained growth, although it is over a longer period. And after a while, it sort of becomes embedded in culture that is where the next level of expectation is for customers. For instance, that once they've adopted it, they just expect all providers to provide this or do this in a certain manner. So therefore, when we look at trends and fads, obviously fads could influence the tactics, short-term tactics of, oh yeah, everybody's doing this, let's fall in there kind of thing. Whereas the trends would probably influence your strategy, your business model, the way you do things. Important to note that in the beginning, trends and fads look very, very similar because you start identifying that stuff is moving, stuff is shifting. And after this development and my explanation, you may think that, oh, no. Okay, we must just not respond to fads. We must throw them out and we must just focus on the trends. But you know what? It's not all that, fads are not all that bad. But we must just know who they are. We must know that this is a fad. So we're not changing our strategy for a fad, but we can on the short term change a little bit of a tactic or just participate in whatever it is. A quick example of a fad was, for instance, like Jerusalemma, the dance during COVID, or the Ice Bucket Challenge a while back. And if you are actually participating and following fads, there could be increased awareness for your organization. It may create a gateway to new audiences. And you could, you could look cool, man. Maintain the perception of, yes, we're on it kind of thing. But we cannot, from a strategic perspective, change our strategy for every little fad, because then we will be burning out really, really, really fast. Having said all that, we need to be able to remain cognizant and vigilant. We must be able to spot it in the first place, whether it's a trend or a fad. So you may ask, okay, so what is it that we should be doing? We should read, watch if it is video clips, etc. Keep informed about everything, the stuff that we are doing now and whatever else is going on. Explore, experiment, play around with new stuff, create real diary time within an organization to just play around with new stuff and see what it is about. We should constantly seek to understand why people are doing what they're doing. Because whenever we are watching a trend and we see things emerging or the adoption of a certain technology, etc., the first question to ask is why? Why? So that we understand what the deeper support for that development or that shift is. In an organization, I think it's important to recruit curious people, to cultivate a culture of curiosity and vigilance within the organization. In a vigilant organization, people will constantly keep one eye on the horizon. They will spot shifts. And is the important one. And then they will share the information that they have found with others in the organization. And then they will act upon it, right? So they will be able to spot it. They will be able to share it within the organization. And then appropriate activities or actions will be designed. To do all of that, we will have to establish systems and processes within the organization to enable the spotting and this sharing of information. I want to conclude with two quotes from a very interesting book written by George Day, Paul Schumacher, about 2-3 years ago. The book's title is See Sooner, Act Faster. And they call this collective skill of an organization, they call vigilance. And one of the quotes from the book says, vigilance is a collective skill set, most evident in its absence. So it's very hard to spot in organizations where they actually just do it. This is how we roll. But you can very easily see when it is not happening in an organization. And then finally, they say, three qualities distinguish vigilant leaders from average executives. They focus externally, they're open to diverse perspectives, they apply strategic foresight, and they probe for second order effects. And they encourage others to explore more widely by creating a culture of discovery. So I hope that you will be spotting it in 2023 and that your organizations will thrive as a result of it.
We hope you enjoyed this installment of the IT Series, brought to you by the University of Stellenbosch Business School Executive Development, with insights provided by the Institute for Futures Research. Stay tuned for our next episode.